Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
We head into Hour 2 of this Thursday edition of the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com, wherever you may be enjoying today's program. Thank you. Coming to you from the bunker in North Regina. This is episode number 19 of the program. Kelly Rempel is in for Darren DuPont, who is out in Kelowna doing investor relations, golfing, smoking cigars, and drinking brandy. He joined us in hour one from poolside. And you know what? I'm happy that he's there. Everybody is saying, why do you go on this? I don't want to. Did it for 25 years. Somebody else's turn.
Let somebody else do the drinking and the smoking and the playing golf.
Yeah. Somebody else can do it. So just come back with the money. Rempel here. We've had a lot of topics on the go. We welcome you to chime in on the Facebook feed or the Capital Auto Mall poll. Should Kevin Glenn be inducted into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame? 75% of respondents saying yes. Why are we asking that question? Because this morning, Kevin was announced as going into the Illinois State Hall of Fame. And I think after he announced his retirement on this show 2 weeks ago, it's going to be a series of Hall of Fames for Kevin Glenn, no doubt. And one of his many teams he played for is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. As we await bringing on Peter Diakowski here, let's bring in the sports doctor, Dave Patrician, who's showed up in Bomber Blue.
Game day today.
How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing great, thank you. A little discombobulated. You know, I come to Regina. You know, other cities that I go to, I usually get a limo, but the limos are kind of in short demand here, so I have to rent a car. But do you ever try to find a gas station here in town? It's easier to find a massage parlor than it is to find a gas station in this town.
You've got strip clubs. We've got massage parlors. It's a trade.
And it's fun with the GPS as well, too, because you punch in gas station. It says Petro-Can, 600 meters on your right. You drive up, no Petro-Can.
The best is when you can get the massage parlor and the gas station in the same place.
That's some sort of pump joke in there. I'm not going to even go there. So this is a family show.
You've showed up in character today, Dave.
Well, you know, I was rewatching a couple of episodes about John Ryan, about being the problem here in Saskatchewan. Isn't that something? Like, isn't that something? The punter. Like, and I think about this. I go to Winnipeg Gold Eyes games back home, and I've been to a lot of Major League Baseball games. And it's this analogy I've drawn. The people in the cheapest seats complain about the umpires the most. So the guy in the corner in section 302 is yelling at the umpire because he thought that pitch was a strike. And it's like that, too. And it's the people that are sitting in the basements that aren't going to games. Like, if you went to that preseason game that I went to at Mosaic Stadium, John Ryan's not a problem. John Ryan's going to help the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So what I'm trying to say is the people in the cheapest seats or in their parents' basements or in front of the keyboards, those are the guys complaining about the punter.
Well, for sure. You're the guy that came up with the term living room officiating.
Absolutely.
And in week two, I was in my cousin Chad's living room, Milestone, Saskatchewan, watching the Riders and Red Blacks. And it's the same thing. We're all sitting around making, was that offensive pass interference or defensive pass interference? We're all sitting around, a bunch of farmers trying to, I'm like, this is living room officiating. This is Dave's term.
And it starts at a young age. I was watching, right after I watched Abu's rant the other day, and the next Facebook video that came up was a guy in somewhere in the States, and I can't get his name, and I tried to retweet it, but I couldn't, but it was a guy saying, when you're grade four team is playing, and that referee is making $11 to do that game, He doesn't hate your school. He doesn't hate anybody out there. He just wants to referee the game. He's and the coaches are volunteers. Everybody's volunteers. We've discussed this at length on the radio and things like that. With technology the way it is, like, yeah, look, that guy's shoelace is offside, so we're gonna call that offside. It is absolutely ridiculous. It's just like when you watch Major League Baseball and you said that guy was out, and then you watch the super slow motion replay and he was safe. The referees still have the best vantage point. Are they gonna get every call correct? Absolutely not. Do you make every decision in your life correct too?
Unfortunately not.
We always say that. Like, imagine that if you were working away on your show and all of a sudden a referee jumped out and called you on a fact or something like that live, right? It just doesn't work that way. But there's a bunch of CFL referees I don't like. Some of them are ref games that I've been to here in Saskatchewan as well. Some of them don't know the God's Queen's English that well. And turd down, you know what? He tries, though. I gotta say, do you notice that when the game gets more tense, it's turd down, but if the game is going well, it's third down. So,
hey,
but anyway, what I'm trying to say is nobody's against your team. Nobody's gonna get your team. It's the same about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the same about the Winnipeg Jets. No referee, no league commissioner, no league officials. Nobody's out to get your team.
I know, although I was sitting one night in the Crushed Can in Moose Jaw, not the arena, Kelly, the bar, with a bunch of hockey refs. One was retired, and I said, "Did you have something against the Pats under the former ownership?" And he said, "No." So I don't necessarily agree that there aren't some things where franchises get screwed on personal grudges.
But don't you think it's an amazing coincidence that teams always feel that their team is the one that has
a grudge against,
right.
Yes,
like
of course.
It's just all 22 WHL teams, all 9 CFL teams all think that they came out on the short end of the officiating. That's because we always look at it through our
vision. I agree with what you're saying. And Kelly, you turn loose on Dave. I only have one question for you, Dave. Well, and comments, because Ryan in Saskatoon's watching this morning. Marushak, he says, "Good day, guy, Gee.
It is bright.
Is it sunny in the studio today?"
It's the Guy Fieri reference again.
LOL. You, listen, this is the only question I have for you.
Okay.
I want to go to Vegas with you.
Oh, boy.
With Karen and Cindy, with our partners.
Go to the Guy Fieri All-American Grill?
Yes. I want to walk down the strip with you. I just want to be beside you. And maybe documented on video with my phone or something, because everybody would think you're Guy Fieri.
Wait, I've been rocking this for a long time. We could do that, absolutely. But I love Arlene's comment. Andre Preux is the best referee in the CFL.
Is he the? Well, that's your opinion. He's historically voted the best referee in the CFL because he's getting the Grey Cup assignment every year. So yeah, she is saying that.
But maybe that's the person that's just the only person that's available. Maybe everybody booked off her Grey Cup party.
Very possible.
He's probably from Montreal. There's not much interest in the Alouettes there, so.
By the way, the key on you, the graphic when you came on said organizer of the Grey Cup parade in Winnipeg. Do you have it planned?
I asked producer Clark if there was availability of a tuba for today's appearance, but.
Da-da-da-da. What's the Bomber fight song? Could you sing it off by heart?
No, it was written by Ford Gardner back in the 50s. Or maybe even Ford Gardner's father back in the 50s. And I couldn't remember, because now when the Bombers do score a touchdown, there's a massive cannon shot and the plane comes out and then there's the flag guys. But there's no real, I don't know, it's not like the one. My favorite one in Regina is about the mighty shores of Regina. Like it was like, it's like.
The last Saskatchewan Pirate.
People came here on a boat or something. I have no idea, like, where that even came from. Is that a lark? Is that something that just is full tongue-in-cheek? The other one is
you're like Sinbad coming into Regina and trashing Regina.
I'm just saying I'm trashing the gas stations. I like
and the massage
here.
Parlors.
I like coming here. You got great pizza.
He loves
here.
The massage parlors.
There's great
parlors.
Restaurants here. Yeah. I'm not out here to review anything. But no, I just, it's a little bit on edge. I like to get in here. You're easy. I like to watch some of the show. I like to take in the thing live. And instead, I'm searching around playing with my GPS looking for a gas station.
We got a lot of viewers in Winnipeg. Oh. And Kelly, you're just sitting there just surmising. You jump in at any time. I don't know if you heard our discussion last hour. And we agree, shockingly, that the Riders are still the marquee franchise in the CFL until somebody takes it away from them. And I'm saying Winnipeg could. They could. And some of our viewers are saying, no, they never will. And it's based on ticket sales, merchandise sales, and ratings, we said. And obviously, Grey Cup wins. Do you think Winnipeg could become the marquee franchise in the CFL?
Well, you know, think about back in the 70s and the dynasty that was the Edmonton Eskimos in the day, and they never became the marquee, and they were winning Grey Cup after Grey Cup after Grey Cup. Mind you, that and then the tough time that happened here in Saskatchewan when you weren't going to be able to draw flies. People had to come and help bail the team out. The tide turned. I think I can't really say after 1989's Grey Cup win, but definitely 2013. That was, I would think that was almost the peak of Grey Cup hysteria, Saskatchewan hysteria. But you don't have to go far. I mean, I go to Minnesota Vikings games. I go to Chicago Cubs games. And if I don't see somebody in a Saskatchewan Rough Rider jersey in those towns, it's kind of disappointing almost. So I do think there's something unique about Regina. There's something unique about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It's really a provincial team. People come from all over to watch the team. I think
and that's what you're saying, Kelly, yeah. Right?
Well, I just think that when you're, I think there's a huge, huge advantage when you're in a non-NHL market.
Absolutely.
You know, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, they're never going to be the number one team. So it's very difficult to be that franchise. Whereas here, this is, I don't want to say all we have, because now we have the Rush and there's some kind of cool things going on. But I just think it puts Saskatchewan at a huge advantage. And
yet the rub, and I think we'll leave the studio this morning agreeing to disagree, is that Edmonton was the marquee franchise for 20 to 25 years, but they still weren't the number one team in Edmonton. You got to give me that.
Yeah, but again, it was a different time.
It was a different time, yes. That would be the caveat of our discussion. Yeah. But so this business of Rider fans wearing their gear on the road, no other team's ever going to have that. Like at the Raptors game 5, like you're just not going to see that.
No,
for anybody else.
Absolutely. And there's a certain pride. I mean, there are people, I don't know if that ever happens. I've known people that moved away from Winnipeg, you know, we're talking 20, 30 years ago, and don't follow the Winnipeg Blue Bombers anymore. But it's almost when you do move away from Saskatchewan, you keep deep roots in this community, and you keep cheering for your team. And I don't know if it's a uniqueness or if it's just something you like to do. Because, you know, if you went up to the person at the NBA Finals wearing a Saskatchewan Rough Rider jersey and asked them to name one player on the team, would they be able to? I'm not sure. However, that being said, there's something about Saskatchewan pride that the Rough Riders represent. You don't get that in any other Canadian Football League city.
You know, I remember when I was at a friend's place in Calgary, back in the sort of like the mid-2000s, right in the teeth of the Roy and Danny years. I remember this buddy of mine had a backyard barbecue, and he's got teenage kids. And a couple of the kids that live in Calgary that have never lived in Saskatchewan were wearing, there was the Stampeders and Riders were playing that weekend. They wore Rider jerseys. So I assumed that they must have been from Saskatchewan. No. But it's cool, even in Calgary, to be a Rider fan, even if you're not from Saskatchewan.
And I think that's still the case, even though that was a long time ago. Yeah, I think that's still the case.
You know, I went to Edmonton. My uncle has a little he lives in a cul-de-sac. I had my Rider jersey on one day in the summertime, getting ready to go to the game that night. And I walked out to my car, opened up the trunk, and I was getting, you know, mulling around in there. And a couple of the locals, like on the cul-de-sac, one's a Stamps fan. An Eskimos fan, one's a Rider fan. And it drew this conversation about Rider pride. And one guy's like, yeah, Riders. And the other guy's, Riders suck. And the three of us are having this fun chat. All because I went out to my car and opened up my trunk with a Rider jersey on. And it created
I got a great
some fun.
Similar story. Wally Buono telling me one time that his neighbors had been neighbors for a long time. In Calgary. Didn't know them real well. Like, he was on one end of the street. They were down at the other end of the street, but they were still neighbors. And there was a game coming up that weekend, and for whatever, maybe the kids had cut his lawn or something, and he's, I'm going to give you tickets for the game. So on the morning of the game, doorbell rings. They're coming to pick up the tickets. They say, well, come get it. They'll be in the box by 10 o'clock. Wally opens the door, and there's five of them all in Rider gear. And he's like, you're kidding me. And I can get why he would be upset. My wife always says to me, because I get upset at things like that. Like, I get where Wally would be upset. And my wife always says, people don't stop to think, Rod. Right? And I'm like, well, you should. If you're those Ryder fans, can you put on the green face paint after you go to Wally's house? Especially when the coach of the opposition team's giving you your tickets? Would you not be upset in that, or would you just laugh? Or do you see what my wife's saying? She's like, people just don't think about it, Rod.
No, I think though that part of, well, it kind of gets back to what we talked about earlier. At the end of the day, though, even us sitting here, we're not solving world hunger or finding a cure for cancer, right? Trying to figure out how we send the next rocket into outer space. So we probably shouldn't get too wound up about things like wearing a jersey on this show because it's a Saskatchewan show. I get why it's a touchy subject sometimes. And that, showing up to Wally's house getting tickets. But I bet you, I'd be willing to bet that Wally probably saw some humor in it and thought it was kind of funny.
Oh, I think he did. He's just, basically the point was, I can never get away from these people.
Everything's back down to Seinfeld when Elaine wore the wrong hat when they were in the Yankees box. You remember the reaction on that one? She got thrown out of the game. Everything in life goes back to Seinfeld. But I would do that. I've been invited to suites in different cities and things like that. And I would never even think about wearing a different jersey. I'd wear something neutral. I'd wear maybe if it was in the Argos game one time.
You showed up today wearing a Bomber jersey.
I do that because a large percentage of your audience is now in Manitoba. Right. When I make an appearance on the show, the ratings go through the roof. There's talk, there's buzz, there's Twitter feed, there's chatter. It's trending right now on Twitter. So, I have to do this, right? I'm not going to show. What am I going to show up in? Dave's Beer Removal Service or something?
By the way, Pat Doyle writes in, Pat says, Dave shows up in a Bomber jersey. Very Winnipeg-ish. Sorry to stop your rant. Continue.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. For see what I'm telling you? Look at the Twitter feed. It's exploding. The mentions that you're going to get, the retweets that I'm going to be doing. But no, the thing about that is I do that for a rub because you know that we've got that ongoing parade thing. We do have a big game at IG Field tonight with the Edmonton Eskimos.
Every night the Bombers... Or every time the Bombers win, Dave and I text each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's the parade starting? Plan the parade.
The best one was midnight on the Saturday game against the BC Lions.
I texted you.
You did. Like, it was like, should I text them? I don't know if he'll be watching the game up this late. And I don't really want to rub it in. And I got the little parade, little animated parade thing.
The GIF. Yeah.
Is it a GIF or GIF? Someone tell us.
What is it, people?
Like GIF, like is in Jiffy peanut butter. Or gift like a gift.
Arlene writes in from Saskatoon. She says, love seeing people wear CFL jerseys from any team.
Agreed.
It's just there are way more wearing Ryder jerseys. And she's right. And for years, traveling across the CFL, particularly Grey Cups, but just various events that I was at, everybody knew that I was the Ryder guy. And so many fans of other teams would say, oh, I'm sorry that I have my Hamilton jersey on. I'm like, I'm just glad you're wearing anybody's jersey.
Right.
Right? That was the view of a CFL guy. I would be more offended if he were wearing nothing.
And I know this was discussed this week previously, but the attendance has to be a concern. And my eyes are on Regina on Monday to see if the game is going to be sold out, because we saw a really dismal preseason crowd when I was here when the Blue Bombers came to town. We've seen some just alarming numbers across the Canadian Football League, except for Ottawa. Ottawa looked good last week.
Remember their stadium only holds 24,000.
Right, but it still looks nice. And
oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong.
And that's great for television. But you saw the game, the Winnipeg Blue Bomber game from BC, the BC Place. It looks dreadful.
60,000 seats. Pause. Now we can actually get into the notes that I had written down for today's show, because that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. I don't need to hear from Clark. It would seem to me that Peter Dykowski, Canada's smartest man, is having a tough time logging into the show. Am I right, Clark?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're working on it with this video chat, working on Peter Dykowski and Henry Burris. But we'll continue the chat, the CFL chat, when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back. Thursday morning sports update just ahead of Peter Diakowski. We got him. Week 3 of the CFL season kicks off tonight with Winnipeg at home to Edmonton in Canada's Game of the Week. It's the home opener for the Blue Bombers, who will have star receiver Chris Matthews in the lineup for the first time. The Eskimos have opened the campaign with 2 victories. TSN's got it tonight, 6:30 kickoff, Sask time. Da-da-da. There's one quarterfinal game on today's Women's World Cup schedule as England faces Norway in France. Go Norway! The show is very big in Norway, as everybody knows. And that's about all I'll say. Dave may need to jump out of here in the middle of this segment. You got a flight to catch to get back to Winnipeg. Does it go through Calgary?
Not today. I have the direct flight today.
Okay.
But I had to get here, leave Winnipeg 6 o'clock in the morning, spend a couple of hours in Calgary to get to Regina. I'm hoping that's just a temporary thing with those Boeing, those planes that they had to down and the schedules in the summertime.
But you should have just jumped out over Regina.
No, seriously. I had a meeting at 1 o'clock in Indian Head. I wasn't even thinking. I could have drove to Indian
Head. No, you weren't. Very Winnipeg-ish planning. On behalf of the sports doctor.
I couldn't have made the
Hang
show.
Hang on.
I couldn't have made the show.
Oh, I got it. Thank you, Dave. Now we're going out on video chat. We got him. Peter Diakowski joining us from I would assume Toronto this morning. How are you doing, Pete?
Hey, good morning. No, from beautiful, sunny Hamilton, Ontario, home of Tim Hortons Field and your Hamilton Tiger Cats.
How you doing, Peter? How is that city going nuts with the Tie Cats 2-0 on the way to a Grey Cup win?
Hey, 2-0, we're planning the parade. And we got a lot of lead time, so we'll make sure it goes a little more smoothly than the that one they had a couple weeks ago.
Peter, we got a lot of CFL questions for you, but before I get to those, I just want to say, how are you, man? I certainly learned to appreciate you and know what kind of great guy you were in your time with the Riders, and I just want to know, how's life post-football?
Oh, life is going great. You know, I've got my race up on the mountain. For any of your listeners who aren't up on the latest federal election news, I'm a candidate. So I'm the conservative candidate for Hamilton Mountain in the October 21st election. That means I'm campaigning hard, knocking on doors, kissing babies, and looking forward to representing Hamilton in the next parliament.
Peter, I can't think that you wouldn't get in. I would certainly vote for you. What's the competition looking like in that riding for you?
Oh, it's stiff. It's stiff. You know, this is not a cakewalk, so there's a lot of hard work. And I'm very fortunate to have a really good team behind me, helping me out, behind me and in front of me and all around me. So I'm in good shape, but there's lots and lots of hard work between now and the end of October.
So for our viewers in the Hamilton area, in that constituency, vote Peter Diakowski on voting day. Now, Pete, something else popped into my mind. You being Canada's smartest man, is that something that you're very proud of, or has it been like an albatross around your neck and people coming up try to stump you all the time with questions you couldn't possibly know?
No, you know, that years ago. I'll tell you, though, it is tough to stump me, but it's a nice thing to have, you know, pops up on Google. It's not the worst thing to have show up on your search results. I had a good night on a television program, so I always take it with a grain of salt, but I guess I've got something between the ears.
Yeah, well, we know you do, yeah, Peter. Well, listen, you guys jump in with your CFL questions here.
Well, we're all excited to see the start of the Hamilton Ticats this year. Can you see they got the not so much a tough game against Montreal, but where do you see the team going in the month of July?
Oh, the video froze.
Oh, I just didn't want to answer the tough questions.
Oh, he's back. Oh, he got a call. This happens. So,
hey,
okay,
you know,
Pete.
I'll tell you what. Okay,
Uh-oh.
Now they're calling him back. Shear's calling him.
Am I here?
Yeah, we got you, Peter. Who's calling you, Andrew Shear?
No. I think the trouble's on your end. I don't know. This video conferencing feature, it's got more bugs in the system than the CFL disciplinary process.
It's going to take somebody even smarter than you to figure that one out.
I think we're okay now.
Yeah, well, you are. You're fine, yeah, Peter. So listen, fine, you went down that road, and you're in Hamilton where Simone Lawrence gets a paycheck. Your take on the Simone Lawrence situation, the appeal, and the commissioner's words, and all the rest, please.
It's a tough scenario. Both players are good friends of mine. You know, I had the pleasure of blocking for Zach for a few years, and he's, you know, one of my favorite former teammates. Seeing him go down on this first drive of the season after having a frustrating year last year, it made me sick to my stomach. You know, I don't think anyone liked what happened. I don't think Simone went out trying to injure Zach. The process following that, though, it puts us in a difficult position as a players association, because we fight for greater player safety, and we've been involved in conversations about how we can limit bad hits and how we can help help extend careers and reduce injuries. And you know, we have a situation like this now where, you know, of course we're involved in filing an appeal on behalf of a member of ours who was disciplined. It's a no-win situation for anybody when a star player gets hurt and you have to impose some sort of penalty. Go ahead.
Well, is there a way that this could have been handled better, in your opinion?
Well, when you look at the process that's followed to deliver penalties, we've felt like having an arm's length panel, having definitive powers, would an appeals process that, you know, would require us to go through our standard grievance arbitration process, could expedite things and allow a decision to be received before the next game. And that's the challenge now, is we've got several games between the punishment and the hearing of the appeal by the arbitrator. And for fans who want fairness, if there could be a suspension at the end of the day, that sort of delay doesn't seem right. For the player involved, if he's going to be exonerated by an arbitrator, it doesn't make sense either to have that decision delayed. And you know, I think it's very tough when you see a great player like Zach who's, you know, out on the sideline. So this is that sort of worst case scenario that you have to build the system for. And we're obviously, you know, as a whole body, not quite there yet.
Justin writes in on the Facebook page, says, Peter, we were honored to have you on the Rough Riders, and I would second that motion. Robert Anderson says, conservative all the way. So here we go with the political rants. Pete, of the four unbeaten teams, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Hamilton, Ottawa, who do you think's the biggest contender, and who of them's the biggest pretender?
It's pretender.
Well, so obviously I'm quite biased. So I can give you the greatest contender after Hamilton, who obviously, in, you know, my estimation, are the heads and shoulder leaders. Ottawa is the biggest surprise, I'll tell you that. After Trevor Harris going west, I don't think anybody had them as strong as they are looking right now. So I would say that they're the, for me, the biggest surprise. I've been impressed with them so far. Now, of course, I've got Hamilton to win the East, but I'd say that's remarkable to me at this point.
Are we good to go? Can you hear?
Can you hear me? Test. 1, 2.
We got you, Pete. I can hear you echoing back on your computer.
Okay. And then looking at the West.
Okay, go ahead.
You got me again? You lost me again.
No, we got you the whole time.
Okay, nice. I like Winnipeg. They've only played one game, though, right? So not quite the same sample size as the others with two wins. But that safety they got, that Jeff Heck, boy, he packs a punch. So I like him.
We do too. All right, Kelly. Okay. Peter, we're going to let you go. Good luck on the campaign trail. We're following it closely.
I'm going to say thank you. I haven't been able to hear the rest of what you've said, but I'm assuming it was all very nice and friendly. Next time we're going to go in via a satellite link or something hardwired.
Wi-Fi, as great as it is,
maybe our enemy here.
It's all good, Peter. Thank you so much. Great job. Peter Dykowski out in Hamilton, Ontario. I think it came across far better than what he was getting on his computer. Would I be right on that? It was good.
I could hear everything in my headset.
But he was a great guest.
Yeah, he was. Hey, David, listen, your breakdown on the game tonight. You came in here all hot and bothered with your rant. What's your breakdown of the game? Canada's game of the week tonight, Bombers Eskimos.
Well, some of the surprising things that we've saw was what Peter mentioned, our safety position on the defense being as ferocious as they were. I mean, people say, well, you know, BC still, you only won by 10 points. That's not a big accomplishment. Look what's happened to BC since. Causing Mike Riley to shave his beard, which was probably one of the strangest things I've heard all week. But Edmonton is a very tough team, and that was very surprising too with the leadership change, because you know a quarterback is much more than just a position on the field. That's a leadership in the locker room, and Mike Riley supplies that. 7 years in Edmonton, did such a great job, and not to take anything away for what Trevor Harris did with the Ottawa Redblacks. But you see what they're going to be doing, what they did in the first 2 weeks. And that's pretty impressive. And, you know, Edmonton got the better of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers last year on the season opening game, with the rain delay game, the thing that ended like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Which shouldn't even count.
No.
How that went.
No, it was like two or three different games at one point. But this is a true test. And if Winnipeg, and of course, I'm going to predict Winnipeg will win this game, but we'll see how they win this game. Is it by a touchdown? Is it by 10 points? And you'll see what a dominant performance. This is a measuring stick also for the Edmonton Eskimos too, because they didn't, you know, I think when they came out of the gate, they probably were a little bit shell-shocked at how successful they were, and they were scrambling to replicate that. So you can never take anything away. We talked about the legacy of the Edmonton Eskimos. They always kind of figure it out. Even when it's they have a 1 or 2 years that they don't make the playoffs, they always come back strong.
Bombers favored by 5.5. Justin just asked on the Facebook feed if we think it'll be high scoring or low scoring. The over-under is set at 56.5. I'll take the over on that.
Me too.
I will. And let me ask you this. Bombers sending me... The Bombers have been awesome to this program, by the way. And they sent me the info about cheap beer tonight.
I did. I saw you.
Cheap concessions. $3 menu for hot dogs, spring rolls, pierogies, and chili bowls. How's that going over in Winnipeg?
It's going over well, but we've talked about that. And I'm going to have to run in just a little, in a few minutes.
Yes.
We might not get deep into this conversation, but this is a tough time. You know, the league, the game started a little bit earlier this year. Attendance has dipped. What they say, 6.5% off. And you're competing today on the 27th day of June with graduations, all kinds of different things, kids getting out of school, people starting their vacations. You have to have some sort of extra incentive to get into the park.
And this would be it.
And you know what? I still think that this is a... They talk about the fans, the younger fan base dwindling. So why isn't that you're allowed to get maybe half-price tickets to something, maybe kids maybe 12 and under or something? Let's fill the park full of kids, and you wouldn't have to discount beer. Because if you discount beer, you're going to really just kind of attract a thirsty crowd, if you know what I mean. and hot dogs and food. And it's going to be a more family-friendly experience when you could feed the family and save a couple of bucks, too. But let's do something that attracts the kids. Why couldn't there? The preseason game here in Regina. Why wasn't there buses and buses and buses of kids? Why aren't the Rough Riders looking at that? Why didn't the Winnipeg Blue Bombers do the same thing? You're talking about 10,000, 15,000 unsold tickets, empty seats at that game. Why not fill them up? Because chances are the kid's going to get his first exposure. This stadium looks really neat. Dad, I want to go, And maybe you create a fan. And maybe down the road you sell a little jersey. I'm not even thinking about the concessions part. I'm not even thinking, you know, you put 10,000 extra people in there, you bus them in and you provide tickets. I'm not thinking about the beer and the popcorn and the hot dogs you're going to sell. It's turning on people to this product. And I know that they're going to say, well, why am I going to pay full price for a ticket if someone's going to give it to me for free? But we're at a crisis stage. We're a couple years removed from TSN signing a new deal, because they're going to have to renew their contract. It's not doom and gloom. They're not pulling the plug. They're fully supporting their deal. But will it be the same money? Will it be the situation that we saw in the 80s with the Canadian Football League when everybody walked away? CTV, CBC, Shanley, all the sponsors, everybody walked away. Will we be in that position in 2 years? I hope not. And by bums being in the seats, interest in the games, fans flocking to the stadiums, ratings through the roof, TSN's going to see this as a valuable property. Or continue the way we're going, or is TSN going to see this as a dying brand?
Dave, you need to run to the airport. Great rant.
Thank you.
Or should I say Guy? Let's book that trip to Vegas. Yes, Guy Fieri with us this morning on the Rod Peterson Show, doubling as Dave Patrician. Oh, by the way, John Bolke writing in on the Facebook feed says, Mike Riley kicks Bombers' ass tonight. Hey, John, wake up and smell the coffee. Mike Riley plays for BC. Get with it.
Boy.
We need to take a break. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Thursday morning sports update. Are we in overtime now? We're getting darn close to overtime. Winnipeg Blue Bombers host the Edmonton Eskimos tonight to start week 3 in the CFL. Both teams enter the game undefeated. The Vegas Golden Knights have traded forward Eric Howla to the Carolina Hurricanes for prospect Nicholas Roy and a conditional fifth-round draft pick in 2020. Howlam missed most of last season with a knee injury. He had a career high with 29 goals, 55 points two seasons ago with the Golden Knights. Yankees GM Brian Cashman says slugger Giancarlo Stanton isn't likely to return until August after straining his right knee. The often injured outfielder went on the 10-day injured list with a strain PCL yesterday, barely a week after returning from a series of setbacks that sidelined him for almost 3 months. He was hurt this time on a head-first slide against Toronto Tuesday night. I don't know, when he was with the Marlins, he played a lot. The PGA's Rocket Mortgage Classic is underway in Detroit. Canada's Mackenzie Hughes was tied for fourth among early finishers with a round of 6 under. 7 Canadians are in the tournament field. And starters for next month's Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Cleveland will be announced tonight. Results will be announced at 7 p.m. Eastern. Pitchers and reserves selected by the players and commissioner's office will be revealed on Sunday. Okay.
You had a chance to sell a coffee mug right there.
Who?
Kelly.
Kelly Kalinowski. Boy, is that a Prince Albert name. Morning coffee break in PA, but I need one of those cool mugs with your mug on it. Where can I buy one? Thank you, Kelly. Yours is a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Yours is a gift from the Rod Peterson Show crew, but you can actually buy them, believe it or not. That's one of the things Darren DuPont's doing. If anybody's turned on their screen this morning and wondered where DuPont is, he's out in Kelowna. Should we say it again?
Just DM the guy, right?
Well, you can order them rodpeterson.com/store.
Oh, there you go.
And you can buy them there. But DM Darren DuPont. He's doing an investor relations trip in Kelowna, golfing, smoking cigars, and drinking booze.
And making money.
And making money.
You can't take that away from
the guy. He's actually working. And everybody's like, why don't you want to be out in Kelowna living the high life? Because I'd rather be here.
Because you don't smoke.
I don't smoke. Yeah, exactly. But I'll say this. You're just right for the party.
Thank you.
And Darren's just right.
I'm the Joe Rockhead of the Rod Peterson Show.
You're the Joe Rockhead of the Rod Peterson Show. Listen, let DuPont and the investor out there in Kelowna golf and drink brandy and smoke cigars and carouse and
womanize, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. That's their thing. I'll stay here and do the heavy lifting, if you will.
Fair enough.
Everybody does their thing. Am I fair?
No, I think it's like The Rock. Know your role.
Know your role. We all know our roles on this show. Rob Swallow writes in and says, watching from the Ottawa airport, definite buzz in the city with the Red Blacks start. Fans are pleasantly surprised. So, great question. Of the unbeaten teams in the CFL, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Hamilton, who's the contender? Who's the pretender? And Peter Diakowski saying Hamilton's the contender, but he's biased. Can we believe what Diakowski says when it comes to football, not politics?
Guy couldn't even figure out how to operate his
machine. Even figure out how to operate his computer. And we're supposed to listen to what he says about
smartest
the Hamilton.
Smartest Canadian?
Smartest Canadian. Says who? We're teasing, of course. Because he's a super, you can tell he's a super guy. He wouldn't have come on if he wasn't a super guy. But there was something of a bug there with his video chat. And Henry Burris, we're told by Clark, is on his way to his hotel room. I'm not sure if he understands the concept of that we're going off the air at Noon Mountain because I got to go to the John Ryan Golf Tournament. Oh, we got him soon, Clark says. Boy.
It's all good.
Everything's fine. It's all, thank you. Because I have this generalized anxiety disorder where I panic with everything. I don't think you have any of that. You just, it's fine.
Well.
You and I need to spend more time together. You can calm me down.
You can phone me at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Can I? No,
sure,
don't.
For you, any, yeah.
From Troy. Can you put the Troy? He's been watching all morning.
Koser?
Yeah. And he's asked twice. So can you briefly answer this? Hey, Kelly, thoughts on Eric Bischoff being hired back by WWE? Would like your insight. wrestling chat could be fun.
Okay, we'll have a much, Troy, you and I can have a much lengthier conversation.
In 30 seconds or less.
About my thoughts on Eric Bischoff another time, but I'll just say this. If you keep Eric with an on-screen role, like a character, and all he has to do is act, because he's very good in that role, perfect. Don't let him make any business decisions. Don't let him anywhere near the business side of it, and you'll be fine. Because Eric is not the sharpest knife, on the contrary to what he would lead you to believe. Not a great mind for the wrestling business, but he's very good on-air talent. Make sense?
That's outstanding. That's great analysis from Bret Hart's former agent. That's a little like this show. They don't let me anywhere near the business, nor should they.
Yeah.
I have a role. It's show up for 2 hours and talk, and then I go home. And Darren goes to these meetings with investors and businesses and clients, and they smoke cigars and drink brandy and golf. No, I don't want to do that. I used to do that. Don't want to do it anymore.
That's a prior life.
Yeah, it's over. It was fun, but it's over. He can go do that. On the CFL attendance thing, by the way, I think too much is being made of it.
Yeah, well,
6.9% decrease. Is it even alarming? I was reading the article this morning at Three Down Nation by our friend John Hodge, and he's saying that Winnipeg hasn't had a home game yet, nor has Saskatchewan had a home game yet. The two historically largest drawing teams in the CFL could account for the bump down. There will be people saying, oh, told you, don't move the games up. I mean, we've been playing some in May, but the soccer stadiums are full. BMO was filled last night for Toronto FC. Montreal had a good crowd, the Impact. So don't say it's that. It's marketing. I think it's marketing. But let's talk some actual football. Going out on the video chat, we got the smile on one, Henry Burris from his hotel in Toronto. Good morning, Henry.
Rod, trains, planes, and automobiles. I've made it, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, awesome. I appreciate you doing that. And I guess I should say afternoon for you, because where you are in the T-Dot. Can you tell our viewers and listeners, Hank, what it's like for you guys on the TSN panel on a game weekend like you're about to embark on? Just travel-wise, well, and what you do.
Well, of course, I fly in from Ottawa every Thursday, just getting ready for, you know, tonight's Thursday night football game, which is going to be outstanding in my mind. But yeah, typically wake up early in the morning, kiss the kids and the wife goodbye as they head off to school. We head to Toronto. But yeah, fly in. I go get checked in at the hotel, and pretty much, you know, I've already shaved. So pretty much, you know, make sure the suit's ready to go, grab a quick lunch. Head up to the studio. We got SportsCenter taping at 5:30. Then we have our quick meeting before we do our pregame show with the CFL and TSN. And then depending on when the game starts, 30 minutes beforehand, we have our pregame show and we go live. So, you know, it's a pretty busy morning and afternoon. But, you know, it's stuff that we love. It gives us an opportunity to stay attached to the game.
How long does it take you and Milt to do your hair? Can you tell us?
Milt's a little bit more high maintenance than me. You know, for me, I just shave and go over. Milt, you know, he's got to look a certain way in the mirror and, you know, receiver type stuff. For me as a quarterback, I'm old school. You know, just give me some shoes, give me a suit, and I'm ready to go.
All right. Hey, well, Milt was on last week. You know, we get him. Can you get this trending, Canada's Game of the Week? I've been trying to start it for a couple of years. We've had a poll in our respondents here, our viewers and listeners, saying tonight is Canada's Game of the Week. Clearly, you agree. What has you excited about Eskimos Bombers tonight?
Well, almost like last week's game, because I mean, you saw what happened with when the Riders came to Ottawa and played against the Red Blacks. That was the game of the week. And to me, this game has similar implications. I don't think it's going to be a shootout like it was last week in Ottawa, but I think these teams are the top two teams in the CFL right now. Winnipeg 1, Edmonton 2. But I just think from top to bottom, you look at their rosters on paper, these teams are loaded. And they're not only loaded on paper, they're also backing it up and showing how they're loaded, you know, with their productivity during each and every game. The way Edmonton's defense, Mike Riley in week two compared to Winnipeg beating them up in week one, they expose people's weaknesses. That's how good they are. But now with these two heavyweights going head-to-head, you know, they're going to kind of get the first chance to throw the uppercut and leave a mark on the other team's face to show them who truly is the best in the league right now. Two quarterbacks that are playing well, great running games, great defenses, great fronts on both sides. I mean, you can't draw it up any better. This is the game of all games that you want to see this week.
Hank, Kelly Rempel here. I have a question for you. I always said that if I ever had the chance to ask you this question, I was going to. When you left the Canadian Football League for your stint in the NFL, like other quarterbacks, when you came back, it looked like there was that you weren't like the mechanics weren't rusty, but the game was different and it took you a little while to sort of get back in the groove. And I've noticed that with other players, even at the non-quarterback positions, that when they go down there and they come back, they're not quite the same and it takes them a little while to get back into that old groove. Why is that? Even for a linebacker, I've seen that, and I've always wondered, is it just because of is the game that much different with the extra man on the field, the bigger field? What did you feel when you came back and why it took a little longer to get that rust off?
Well, it's not really, in my mind, not rust so much. It's more just being comfortable with where you are, because defensively there's different implications and different things you have to get comfortable with compared to offensively. You know, for quarterback, it's the schematics. It's the verbiage that comes with the play. It can be the size of the field, man, the 12th man on both sides of the ball, but also having a chance to get actual playing time. That was my biggest thing. I set out for pretty much 2 to 3 years down there just pretty much holding helmets and writing stuff on a clipboard. So, of course, you're going to be a little bit rusty. But really, for the most part, it's knowing where you're supposed to be as a defender, and especially as a skilled guy other than the quarterback on the offensive side, knowing where you're supposed to be, having chemistry with the other guys on your side, which makes you hesitant when you aren't comfortable. Because, therefore, if you're making a play but you're not supposed to be that guy making the play, you're supposed to be eating up a block and allowing somebody else to make the play. You know, that doesn't shine good on the team, especially if you're, you know, continually doing that, because people look at you like, hold up, are you being a me-type player or are you playing within the scheme of things? So there's a lot of hesitance to understanding the scheme, knowing what your role is, being able to go out there and play at full speed rather than being hesitant because you're thinking. So I think a lot of that has to do with it, other than guys just coming out there being the guys that we've known. But you see the same thing happen when rookies come up. They're just trying to feel their way through, understand what they're being asked to do. And once they gain comfort, look out then, because those guys are going to really turn it up.
Hey, Hank, lastly, because I know you're busy, will you guys talk on the panel about the changing of the guard at the quarterback position? Yourself, KG, Travis Lule, all Hall of Famers, all not on the field anymore. Cody Fajardo, I don't believe, is bound for the Cooperstown of the CFL yet, but Donna McDavis looks good. Fajardo looks good. Are we on the cusp of the next generation of great quarterback? I guess we have to be, because you guys are done.
We have to be. And, you know, we always ask that question, who's going to join? To me, in my mind, there's two elite quarterbacks in the league right now. That's Bo and Mike. I mean, those two guys have won Grey Cups. They've won MOPs. They've always had their teams up there annually competing for the Grey Cup. And then next, I look at Jeremiah Masoli and Trevor Harris. Those are two guys that are right now, to me, on the doorstep. And then Matt Nichols. Because my thing is, are they ready to take that step to where going into playoff time, they give their team hope to be there, to do it year in and year out? Well, now for Trevor, he has a chance to prove that. Jeremiah has a chance to prove that. It's Matt Nichols' opportunity to have a chance to do that. But yeah, we are looking for that next echelon. Who is it? You know, we looked in Montreal. Oh my goodness, we don't know what's going to happen there. But we looked in Ottawa. We saw last week two guys were on display with Cody and Dominique Davis. They put on an aerial show, and especially the way Fajardo closed out that first half, hitting those two big throws and all of a sudden hitting Shaq Evans in the corner between two defenders. I thought it was Brett Favre down there making passes. But, you know, we need guys like that to be stepping up to the table, showing that, hey, give us a chance. Let us prove to you who we are and what we can do. We can also put on a show, and that's what those two quarterbacks did last week. But we're waiting to see, who's it going to be? James Franklin? Who's going to be the guy out of Toronto? You know, we can't wait to see and find out who that's going to be, because right now, markets like Toronto and Vancouver, and who has it, but Toronto, Montreal, they definitely need those guys to give not only the team hope, but also the fans hope, and somebody that they can go to sleep on saying, man, I can't wait to see that guy play tomorrow. We definitely need that resurgence, and it's good to see in Saskatchewan and Ottawa, we got two guys that are on the cusp of making that happen.
You know, I love the nickname Smiling Hank, but I think I want to call you the Natural. The Natural. Anybody called you that?
No, I did love the movie, though, but no, no one's ever told me that.
There you go. Hank, I'll be watching tonight. Thanks for fitting us in.
Hey, Rod, always love talking to you, buddy. You guys take care, and we'll be out there on site. The panel will be there on Monday for that big Canada Day game. Who's going to win? I think you guys know.
The Riders. We'll be looking for you. Thanks, Hank. Henry Burris. Love that guy. Yeah. He's just a super, super dude, man. And all these guys' support of this program has just been mind-blowing to me. You asked off the top in the warm-up, am I overwhelmed? That's the part I didn't expect. And that's where Clark comes in. We talk about DuPont out in Kelowna, golfing, smoking cigars, drinking brandy on investor relations. You know, Dan from Saskatoon writes in and says, does DuPont supply the booze and cigars? I can't see that. No, that's what the investor does. They got all the money.
That's right.
Right. But Clark, everybody's talking about the guests. Across this land are talking about the guests have just been top drawer. That's the guy on the other side of this wall. Clark Monroe's the guest booker. I never had one before in my life. Do you see how much difference a guest booker makes in a show?
Yeah.
When you have guys like this?
Well, you were lucky to get a sandwich at your last job. Oh,
it's over, right? It's over. Here, I'm having the time of my life. I think that's very evident, right? Yeah. And so Clark does the guest booking and a lot of the social media stuff. We got Jordan over there doing the camera switching and everything. We got Ryan doing the analytics and the stats, which are mind-blowing. We went off those at the start. You know, again, top five viewing cities of this show. Say it with me. Number one,
Regina.
Number two,
Saskatoon.
Number three,
Calgary.
Number four,
Winnipeg.
Number five,
Edmonton, but most importantly, number six, Estevan, Saskatchewan.
Estevan, Saskatchewan is the number three most viewed city for this program.
Home of Tony Saragella and family.
And all the Saragellas, which I'll be golfing with Peter Saragella, Peanut Butter Pete, this afternoon.
You got to love a place that put real bacon on a pizza.
Oh, I know.
Like real bacon.
That's the Tower Restaurant in Estevan.
They cook the bacon, they drain the grease, and they put the real bacon on the pizza. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. No,
Clark just sent a note on the prompter here. And he says, if you want your city on the list, do something about it. That's what he says. Because people are saying, what about Yorkton? What about my small town? Yeah. What about this?
You haven't earned it.
No. Tell your friends. More importantly, share the show. That's how we're going to grow. That's how this all works. Share the program. That's how the show will grow. And as I continue to go along, and I mentioned all those guys, you asked where the makeup girl was. Well, Cassidy has more important things to do than putting makeup on
no,
the guys.
No, he did.
Guy? Oh, yeah, it was Guy Fieri. He said, where's the beautiful gal that put makeup on me last time? Well, she's working downstairs. She's not just the makeup girl. She actually has an important role here. So can somebody tell Cassidy downstairs? You guys probably all have the show on down there that some of the guests today want to know where she is. They miss her. And then you got the two Joshes doing computer stuff, all the animation, the video. Like, this is
big time.
Big. It's big.
It's like Sammy from Seafood Sam's.
Big shot. Big shot. Jody Robson wins the Jan Arden tickets for sharing the show on Facebook today. And I kind of envy you, Jody. You're going to see Jan Arden. Insensitive. Love that girl. Sunday in Saskatoon. Remps, thanks.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
I'll be looking for you at the stadium, and then I'll see you next week.
Not next week, the week after. Next week, I'll be in Calgary.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on the program. We'll recap this Bombers-Eskimos game tonight. We got Troy Westwood coming on, Bombers great. Nate Davis, another Rider Hall of Famer, will be here in studio. And John Frenzy. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.